Hey honeys, it's time for another gorgy episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life, the podcast with me, Gareth. This season, we've teamed up with possibly the honeyest summer festival ever, Back to Festival. What is Back to Festival, I hear you cry? Well, what if I told you there's a four-day Hunfest taking place at Caton Park, Derbyshire from the 30th of June to the 3rd of July, featuring some of the most iconic 90s and noughties nostalgic acts for you and your honeys to party with. I'm talking Bass Hunter, The Venga Boys, Batman Scoop, Wigfield, Scouting for Girls, oh yeah, and not forgetting Cascada, Aqua, UB40, and The Mighty Steps as part of their 25th anniversary tour, plus over 100 acts for you to go wild in the aisles with. Back 2 Festival is well equipped to keep a hun's needs met, from gorgy cocky tea bars, top quality branded drinkies, nom nom local food traders, and if that's not enough, a brand new dead exclusive VIP area for all preemie huns out there. So get on the pink Motorola Razr, set up a WhatsApp group, invite your best huns, get planning those outfits, and get ready to hit Back 2 Festival all huns blazing. Want to know more? No probs, babes. Check out Back 2 Festival on the old Facebook, or get on the gram and follow at Back to Festivals to get involved. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just £30. So what are you waiting for? Head over to www.backtofestivals.co.uk for all the deets, the full lineup, and ticket purchasing. Get ready for the most outrageous trip down memory lane. See you there, Gorge. Mwah. So, Huns, we're here. Can you believe it? At the final episode of season two of the Hunsnet podcast, The Fundamental Guide to Life, we have certainly saved the best till last. Wherever you go, he's going to be there. Whatever you do, he's going to be here. It's pure and simple. It's the multi-talented actor, singer, star of stage and screen, who is right now a handy Andy, but we'll talk more about that. Property restoration. It's the fabulous Noel Sullivan, or should we say, Sullahun.
I love that. That's my new moniker. Yeah. I might actually change my name by deed poll to that.
Well, why not? I know, it's something to do. We were just chatting because you are like slap in the middle of a property renovation in France, right?
Yeah. Basically, whenever I'm resting from my acting career, yes. I head out here and chip away at like a 16th century farmhouse that we got about 18 months ago. So I'm basically learning how to be a tradesman from YouTube.
This is it. But the reason why I wanted to go straight into that is because I wanted to ask, have you chosen a nice decal for the kitchen? You know, like a live, love, laugh, Prosecco, ring for Prosecco. And what have you...
I think for my house, it has to be like sing like no one's listening.
Oh, yeah. For all the listeners, I've got to tell you that currently on holiday in Turkey, and I mean, you listen to people when they're talking on the sunbeds, don't you? And there was this woman yesterday, literally, non-ironically, talking about life's not waiting about for the storms to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain just because it starts to think. I just love all that shit, you know? It's just my life.
There's the whole aisle in Home Bargains, isn't there? That just has everyone that you'd ever want to have or to dot around your kitchen.
Well, that must be so frustrating for you, you being a hun in France and there's not a B&M or a Home Bargains in sight. So I mean, how are you coping?
I found a shop that's very similar called Castorama, and it's like they even give you a loyalty card, so like once a week I'm whizzing around there
down the Castorama. Right, fabulous. We'll talk more about your property renovation a little bit later, but welcome to the Fundamental Guide to Life, the Hunsnet podcast, sponsored by Back 2 Festivals. On the podcast, we get to meet some of the fabulous icons, so to speak, who have featured on the page. And obviously, there's a massive part of Hun culture is this 90s and noughties nostalgia, which you are very much at the forefront of. So what I want to know is, first and foremost, how do you feel about like when you're in memes and stuff like all these years down the line?
I'm absolutely flattered, because especially some of it's just quality. Some of the things that I see, I'm just like, you know, it's taking a time that you just think, look how ridiculous we looked, and there's so many just random moments, and to see them being celebrated again is such like it's so cool. I love it.
We've spoken about this on the podcast with Claire Sweeney a couple of weeks ago, and we've got to talk about it with you because it's the 2001 Royal Variety Show. Do you remember I uncovered this a few weeks ago? And there's you guys in the band performing with, you know, I think you start Elton John's song
before Elton John. I mean, that is, that's me and Carriage Syndrome.
I know. I think he was, you know, and I knew at 20 that I was destined for it to continue, you know, but I remember being in the dress rehearsal for it and standing on stage and the orchestra strikes up and then I start singing and I'm like, all right. And then one by one, just like icon after icon after icon walks onto the stage. It's like it's such like, it, and you'd like pinch yourself. But so many stories from that Royal Variety performance. Like I remember the five of us were like crammed into this tiny dressing room with all the stylists and the hair folk and whatever. And we went for a little nosy around the other dressing rooms. And like on the top floor was like Elton, Craig David, J-Lo. And went in and had a little nose before everyone got there. And they had the rooms draped in the white with the white lilies everywhere. You know, like all the stuff that you hear about, the stuff of legends.
Yeah.
And I'm like creeping around there. And basically that week, Elton John had slagged us off in the papers saying that we were the ugliest band in pop.
I mean, I like Elton, but he's not much of a looker, is he? Come on,
do you know
man.
What I mean? Glass houses and all that else.
I was saying, Elton, do you want to go outside then, Omar?
So one of his people came down and knocked on the door and said, Sir Elton wishes to speak to you. And I was like, well, you've just found our dressing room. You know where we are.
Full Cardiff show comes out. All right,
don't start it. Yeah, exactly. And basically, he then came down to the room and was like, I'm really sorry. I should know better. I shouldn't have said that. And I apologize.
You should have done.
And then he said to Danny, and David is up Kilimanjaro if you want to go out. He cracked on to Danny. And then next day, we received the biggest bunch of flowers. You know, Elton, it's like...
Yeah, he loves his flowers.
One of us received, like, the Chelsea Flower Show delivered to us.
Uh-huh. All these years down the line, you know, you can be there and, you know, out-trump everybody when it's like, I duetted with Cher, you know? It's like, well, I don't think Cher was really present at that moment.
I don't think she has been present since about 1984, is she?
Oh, God, Cher. What's really been interesting now is looking back at it 20 years later, because there's been so much reality TV, so much shows. But, there, you know, I was looking back at your concert, your DVD, your concert that you did with Hearsay, and I think it was the first day. They worked you hard. There was so much choreo and singing. It's mental. In fact, I've got some memes that I'm going to do, but I wanted to wait till this recording of the of the thing until we do them. But they worked you hard back in the day.
It was a different time, you know. Intense. It was intense. It was, and you know, we were only around for a couple of years, really. But the amount that we crammed in into that time, you know, I don't think it could have gone on for any longer because we'd done everything. And you know, it was that classic. Yeah. You know, if you won like X Factor or Britain's Got Talent or something, now they take you away for a year, they turn you into a pop star, and they bring you back, and they're like, you know, at the final the next year. But with us, we hit the ground running and they just threw everything at us. And we just had to like adapt as it was happening. And also, it's the first time it had ever happened. So like the very first Big Brother, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if anyone's going to watch it. And then it just blows up and changes your life. You know, it was crazy.
You know, you went from being Noel in your normal life to Noel from Hearsay. How did that feel?
Well, it just literally happened overnight. It was when they announced the final five, life changed forever and has never really... Yeah. You know, no matter what I've done, and I've done some amazing things since, nothing will ever compare to that time. You know, I'm never going to have an experience like that again. It was a once in a lifetime thing, you know.
Back in the day, you know, we were trying to be cool. We were trying to be all of that. And reality TV and trends moved really, really quickly. And I think why this whole Hun culture and nostalgia thing's come back is because it's 20 years down the line and you look at it and go, that was actually pretty cool at the time. Do you know what I mean? And there was probably a time, I remember like looking at some of the hairstyles that I had when I had hair in like 2004. About 6-7 years ago, I cringed to watch it. Yeah. But now I love it because it's just a real moment in time.
Let's talk about hair. Because I remember having, like at one point, I think it was for the Loving Is Easy video, I had like a purple mohawk. No, and it like and straighten it. Like it was just a daily thing just to get your straighteners out.
Oh my god. Would you consider yourself a bit of a Hun? What does being a Hun mean to you?
And seeing as like the peak of my youth was during the Hun years, I think There's no way you can escape it. I'll still put on like the Hun albums. I was listening to Eternal last night. You know, those things are never going to escape. They're part of your youth, you know? Yeah. And like you said, that nostalgia that comes back to it, there's a generation of us now who know exactly what it is to have loved All Saints and the Spice Girls and Atomic Kitten, you know?
I went to Mighty Hoopla last week and obviously, you know, Steps headlined and Sugar Babes Reform.
Yeah.
But the one that got me was, and I've seen her a couple of times over the last couple of years, but I thought she was absolutely amazing. And if she wants to come on the podcast, she would be very welcome. Was Louise. Louise was amazing. Like, and she sang some of the Eternal hits. She sang, you know, all of the stuff. And it just gives you that, it's like a nice warm hug, isn't it? You know, all of these throwbacks. It's amazing.
I loved it. And also the drama wrapped in Eternal. That was just like, it was such, you just couldn't get enough of it. Yeah. You're like, she's being outcast. Yeah. Yeah, they're being horrible. So no wonder she's leaving. Like there was just so much gossip around it, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Kelly left, and then she came back, and then it was the big reunion.
It was the sisters, and what were the sisters really bitches? Like, oh, it was amazing. I loved it.
That Always and Forever album was like cracking. I can remember being like about 12 or 13 years old, walking around bloody high school singing bloody Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. the Eternal version of that. Get a life, hun.
You and me both.
Yeah, this is it. Love it. With all of our guests, we test them out to see where they are on the Hun scale. Okay, now there's no right or wrong answers for this. We just want to just find out where you are on the Hun scale.
Okay.
So, Hearsay's outfits were very much jeans and a nice top territory. Do you remember a particularly Hunny outfit from the time?
And I've seen you meme these already, but it's got to be the...
I know.
It's got to be the River Island outfits.
They are. If you needed a picture to sum up 2001, 2002... Oh. It's that
I remember going back, like during the shoot, I was putting these tops on and I was like, I look like a right bastard. But then looking at the girls, and they were like sequins, like lime green, like just minging. And I remember,
oh my God.
I'd forgotten about it. And then I went home to Cardiff and there was a massive River Island on the corner of Queen Street. And I walked down there and I was like, I just to see my big moody. Oh. And I don't know why I thought it was cool to be like so moody. Yeah.
Blue mood. Steel. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm so glad that you said that because that outfit, get up, that whole image. Oh. And you know, Kim's got the flicky out hair and you've got the moody look. That is 2001.
That's the one, isn't it? Oh my God.
Which looks like a lampshade. No, I love it. I absolutely love it. Do you know what I actually think though? It doesn't help me. You might have dodged a bullet actually, because there's only a couple of pictures of it that you can get.
Oh,
and I've got to be honest with you, I'm Googling going backstage River Island shoot shot to try and get something from
there. Was
thing,
none
but
of that.
Nah.
Thank God social media didn't exist then, because imagine the shit that would be floating around on the internet. It would just be awful.
Oh my God. So obviously, post-band, you've done lots of stuff on stage, musicals and things like that. Which do you think is hunnier, pantos or musicals?
Well, that's not even a question. Panto, isn't it? Panto is like the Hun versus Christmas. It's like the ultimate Hun experience. Because all of the Huns from my era are now like peak panto. Do you know what I mean? Like everywhere. You can't go to your local panto without seeing someone from the 2000s like in a leading role.
So who have you done panto with? Who's Hun? Who have I not, darling?
No. I've only actually done two pantos in my illustrious career. One because I needed to pay for my wedding. And
of course.
And the other one was the most depressing panto of my life. And it was in Crawley. And it was...
Oh, right. Okay. Well, the scene's pictured.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And we've got... Basically, I'm Aladdin. And my widow twanky, Les Dennis.
That is Hun.
So you don't get better.
Bit of Les.
You can't get
no,
better.
No, exactly. Les Dennis obviously been in the soaps as well. Who do you think is the more hunniest out of Gail from Corrie or Kat Slater? Who do you think is the biggest Hun out of Gail or Kat, if you had to put them in celebrity death match?
Kat for me. And Kat would absolutely destroy Gail in a death match. Like,
she would.
You don't mess with Kat.
No, something that me and my friends quote all the time, and we don't know anyone called Gail. Do you remember when Eileen and Gail in Corrie had a fight in the street and Eileen just goes, "Go home, Gail." That is just something that we quote on a daily basis. I think this is like me slowly like going into some sort of psychosis. I need to stop.
No, no. I was chatting to my friend earlier about the soaps we used to watch as a kid. And obviously, like, Neighbours was such, like, I just seen that it's come to an end.
Did you just film the last episode?
Yeah, but do you remember it was like, it was on at 5:35 after school. And then if you got to bunk off school the next day, it would be on lunchtime, the same episode.
Yeah.
So you just always be watching Neighbours because there was nothing else to watch.
I think we're probably about the same age. Do you remember El Dorado?
Oh my God. Pilar and Marcus. Yes. I loved El Dorado so hard. I was devastated when it finished. I was devastated.
Walking around a bloody white set. It was just brilliant. The reason for them putting it on was that EastEnders was so dark and grey and they wanted something to brighten it up. It literally was like riddled with controversy. The Wikipedia page for El Dorado, if anybody needs something to do, is quite a treat. So there we go. Fabulous.
I'll be on that later. Get stuck in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you think that there is something from that time, like a product or fashion or something that really defines Hun culture for you from back in the day? Is there something
for
there?
For me, it's definitely the UFO pants and the crop top.
Like the low risers.
Yeah, the bit, and they had like strings on them. And I don't know what happened, but for a couple of months, I think everybody thought it was cool to wear them. And every time I see pictures of us wearing them, I just am like,
yeah.
They were such a hazard. Like there were bits hanging off them, like you could get trapped in tube doors or like a big gust of wind and you're off, you know?
Yeah. I used to call them the Fame Academy pants because you remember Fame Academy when it came on? It was the girl doing the big kick and then the, one of the streaming things on the way back.
Yeah.
Do you remember Baby G watches? And everybody had a Baby G. Wet Look Gel was huge at that time. Straighteners for boys.
Straighteners.
So when I had hair and I was using straighteners, and my friends will know this because we were all working together at the time, I used to just like, I wouldn't have time to dry my hair. So I'd literally put the straight, this is why, probably why I'm bald, to be honest.
Let this be a lesson to you kids. If straighteners ever come back, don't.
Just yeah, don't do
don't,
it.
Don't do it.
Hold up. We'll be back with our Gorgie guest right after this. Thank you for supporting Hunsnet on Instagram and loyally listening to this podcast, The Fundamental Guide to Life. Now, the Instagram and the podcast will always be totally free to you, babes, and you will never have to dip into that Prosexy pot to carry on consuming the Hunsnet content that you enjoy. But we know that some of you would love more content, and to facilitate this, you can now go behind the curtain and support Hunsnet on Patreon. For as little as the cost of your morning cup of coffee, you can get exclusive access to so much more Hunsnet content, exclusive discounts, offers, and even get the podcast in video form and ad free. Get involved now, babes. www.patreon.com/Hunsnet. Hun supporting Huns, honey.
We spoke earlier on about your renovation project. So just tell everybody, I know we've chatted before we went live. So you've got this renovation project. Where is it?
So I'm basically in the Pyrenees, an hour south of Toulouse, just about 20 minutes from the Spanish border. And we bought it after the first lockdown because we were in London in a little flat for lockdown one and we nearly went mad. Uh-huh. So it was, we just decided to throw caution to the wind and have a go at something that we always wanted to do. So when I'm not working, I come out here and just, you know, hack away at it and learn how to roof and plumb and tile and all that kind of stuff.
Do you get recognised?
No. that's it's us. C'est Noël. C'est Noël.
C'est Noël
de Irse.
De Irse, wherever you go, I will be there. I'll never do that again.
Never do that again, but I love it.
No. Do you speak French or did you let the funky music do the talking?
Yeah, oh, very good. Evidently, my favourite Girls Aloud track. I'm learning more as I'm here. I'm doing a little course and all that kind of stuff. But in all honesty, it's very rural. I don't really see a lot of people here, which suits me.
Because obviously you're in France. Is there a French version of Huns? You know, what are there Huns in France?
I don't think in this part of France there are Huns. My next door neighbour's like a 90-year-old woman. So she's a bit of a Hun. Her name's Madame Langepe. She comes around and steals the figs and brings us back jam. It's cute.
It's very, very, very Dick and Angel, Escape to the Chateau. It is.
I was thinking about just getting myself like a red dye and some victory rolls and maybe a floristry deal with Next.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Right, okay, let's talk about hearsay a little bit more then. So, you know, you must get asked this question that I'm about to ask you all the time, but we want to, will there ever be a hearsay reunion, do you think?
Do you know, we did have a little chat about it last year because it was 20 years and then,
yeah,
like, oh, just as people are busy and doing all their own things, yeah. I just think, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, is the answer. Like, it didn't work out last year because of timing.
Yeah,
were and all that kind of stuff, but I don't, you could never say never, but it's just not like for me at the, like when we were talking about last year, I was like, it would be cool to revisit for nostalgic reasons, but at the same time I think everybody's carved out such a different career for themselves now. Kind of like if we were all just doing random jobs and working in call centers and stuff, I'd be like, okay, fine, like let's do it, let's get back on the road. But like we're doing stuff.
Well, actually, you could do what ABBA did recently, and you could maybe come back as avatars because they, you know, they're not selling tickets. So we could have, you could go in to the ABBA arena. It could be the Hearsay arena. You record it once and then just cash in on it. It'd be brilliant.
Oh yes, I like that idea.
Oh no, but the parachute pants would be really, really, they'd be tricky with robots. They'd get stuck in the joints.
This is true. We visited that one.
Also as well, I want to know, is there a Hearsay WhatsApp group, or do you all speak each other individually, or is there, is there a WhatsApp group that you all know?
No.
Can you put one together? That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
Kim's kicking off in the group.
Noel's left the group.
Yeah, Noel's left the group. Noel and Danny have got a subgroup talking about the group. It's brilliant.
You put it on the group. No, you put it on the group.
No, you put it in the group. I mean, I'm not saying it first. Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant, like, that you revisited it. I mean, obviously, for us as fans and people who love that time, it would be absolutely amazing. So we will sit in hope. I think there is I think people would go wild for it. I think they'd go wild for it. I definitely would. You know, Steps doing their big comeback, and, you know, obviously all of the other bands. Blue, we saw Blue at Mighty Hoopla the other day, and it just takes you back to all of those times. And, you know, obviously people have grown up now. They've got families and things like that. So I think it would just be appreciated in a different way. So if the rest of the band are listening, which obviously they are, please do it. Please do it. We need it. The Huns need it. Can you imagine? The Huns will go wild at a Hearsay concert. It'll be like a Hun convention.
I think we'd have to change our name to Hunsay.
Talking about music that we've just spoken about there, one thing that we do with all of our guests here on the Fundamental Guide to Life is we get them to choose their tracks that they would like to add to the HunsNet playlist. But it's not just any tracks. They're tracks that make you live, love, and laugh.
All right.
Set the scene here. You are getting ready to go out on a night out, just ironing your jeans and a nice top. You're slinging down the Prosecco like there's no tomorrow with your girlies. What track is playing in the background?
It has to be Jocelyn Brown's Somebody Else's Guy. It's just such a jam. It's got like, it's got the funk, it's got the groove, the vocals. I love it so much. And also, Jocelyn Brown reminds me of one of my hunnest moments ever. And if you can find this on the internet, I don't know if you will be able to find it too, but you might be able to. We did a version of War Is Over on Top of the Pops one time, and Jocelyn Brown sang lead. And then the backing choir was like Us, Westlife, S Club, Atomic Kitten, and some other fabulous noughties pop group. But yeah, see if you can dig that out, because it was another one of those moments where you stood there on stage at Top of the Pops going, this is silly.
Okay, well that's now going to take up the rest of my holiday. If that's not fine, I will find that. I will find it.
Dig it out.
Yeah, Somebody Else's Guy, fabulous track. We're going to definitely add that to the playlist. The love track, though, this is something that you can either think about that, you know, makes you think of a time where you've been in love, or, you know, you've got the nice candles on, the Yankee candles on, burning away as you're cooking a nice meal for your other half. What song would it be?
It'll be Celine Dion, Because You Love Me.
Of course.
I bought my husband tickets to see Celine. He's the massive, you know, not to go with the gay stereotypes at all, but he's a huge Celine.
No.
And I basically bought him VIP tickets to see her in Hyde Park. And then I played, he was in the bedroom, and then I played on my speaker. I had my little wireless speaker and I played Because You Love Me. And then I like lip synced into the room and I like did the whole number for him. And then at the end of it, gave him this envelope, which had the Celine tickets to.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. That's the most beautiful story I've ever heard. And was she good? I bet Celine was good. I've not seen her, but I bet she was bloody brilliant, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of hers, but I think she's amazing, but like it never really touched me. Like, I don't know, like she's not like a Whitney. Whitney and Mariah for me are like,
of course,
know, something else. But when I saw her live, it completely changed for me. She's like a true, true one of the great recording artists because she just sounds like the records. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And she's high camp as well, isn't she? She's just high camp.
What about that advert for her baby wear? Have you seen it?
Oh, no. Oh, no. My God. What's happening in this?
Google her. She basically is like, she's got like this, it's like a non-gender baby wear. So everything's like gray. Uh-huh. And like... Yeah. Just Google, like, I can't even put it into words how amazing this advert is, but she is like, she gets arrested by these security guards and she's walking through like a child ward, but she's like fab, like, it's just have a look, write it down right now.
Oh my God.
And Google it as
write
soon
it down
as
now. I'm going to do it. And then I'll attack when we go live with this episode, we will get the Huns to really go in on this and dissect this. It's brilliant. I love it. I mean, who thinks Celine Dion baby wear? Well, I think a nice Prosecco of Celine Dion, but you don't think baby wear. Bit of a reach, Celine, but yeah, why not?
Yeah, you think like a scent or something, don't you? Like
yeah.
a bottle of Titanic by Celine, whatever.
Yeah, what do you think Celine smells like? Impulse.
Yeah. I think she smells like Lynx Africa.
Yeah, exclamation. So, Charlie Red, yeah.
Charlie Red.
What song makes you think of having a really good laugh? You could be having a good knees up with your friend or reminds you of songs that you've laughed lots with other people.
For a while, in the early noughties, I was obsessed with that. Like, just as a joke with my mate, but remember that Mayahi song? They were called
Dragon Stunning. And I, hello, how do?
It was so weird, but I remember being like, you know, it was at that age when I'd come home from school and then I'd, or like the box would be on and it would always be on the box or MTV, you know, like Select or whatever. But I remember just watching them and just being like, what is this? Like a bunch of Greek boys like dancing on a plane.
It was an aeroplane, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's mad.
No, it's definitely going to go on the playlist. To be honest, it's probably on the playlist, to be honest. Kids don't watch MTV anymore, do they?
No.
Like nobody, they didn't watch it. But I remember getting home and I remember this, like I think it was 1997. I can remember being on my sofa in Pontypool. South Wales, flicking through MTV and then Sky News because Gianni Versace, I was like, there was the whole Gianni Versace thing going on at the time. And, and I can remember that. And I can remember ATB's 9 PM Till I Come, just literally on repeat on the music channel. That's a real vivid memory of me.
Yeah, the music channels. I miss the music channels.
What are kids doing? Where are kids getting the music from today? Yeah, that's probably YouTube really, isn't it?
Yeah, Spotify and all that.
So Noel, this is the final Royal Hunness of the season, okay? And every week on the podcast, we get one of the Huns who we interview to crown somebody else in the Hun world as this week's Royal Hunness, okay? And they will sit in the Royal Hun Hall of Fame on the Royal Hunness throne for this week, and you can choose whoever you want.
I'm going to go Queen of the Huns.
Queen of the Huns.
I'm going to put Madonna... I'm going to give Madonna the crown.
You're going to give Madonna the crown. And why do you think she deserves to be this week's Royal Hunness?
Because I think she's been a Hun. She was a Hun before the Huns, and she's still a Hun.
Yeah.
Just clinging on in there. I just like, in every decade, she's just done something ridiculously Hun-worthy. Like something that you talk about and go, like, I just saw her on the internet the day before yesterday, recreating the famous kiss with Britney, but she looks like a cat. Like, it's so amazing. Like, what have you done? I just love everything about you. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, we got to talk about Britney's wedding. That was like a vomiting of Huns. You had Paris Hilton there, Selena Gomez, Madonna was there. Fabulous. That was a Hun wedding.
Oh, so
American Hun.
Yeah,
wedding.
I reckon they went Carver Brute for that, didn't they?
Yeah, Carver. Oh, yeah. That's one of these things. So I'm currently on my holiday here in Turkey, and they don't actually do Prosecco, but the British guests here could not fathom that. So like, I'll have a Prosecco and they're there drinking it, but you can see that it's actually Carver, but nobody is addressing the elephant in the room. that the bottle of Prosecco is a carver and everybody's just getting on with it.
This is the you're in Turkey, so really you shouldn't be having carver or Prosecco. I don't know what the Turkish sparkling white is, but maybe check it out. You could invent a new Hun drink there.
Absolutely. A nice Hun cocky tea here in Turkey. Right. Okay, Noel, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. You've been absolutely amazing. Some great Hun stories. But before you go, tell everybody, apart from your house renovation, what you're up to at the moment. What's going on in the world of Noel?
It's just like audition time. So I'm auditioning for, musical stuff and TV stuff. And I've written a film that we're just trying to get off the ground at the moment, which is with some... With a decent production company, trying to shop that around to various actors to get them on board. It's called My First Gay Wedding.
Yeah.
And it features heavily the pop group Steps. So I haven't asked them to do it yet. Well, I've asked Faye.
No.
Faye's up for it.
Yeah.
So I've got one of the five.
Yeah. Faye's up for anything.
Yeah.
Faye's up for anything. Yeah, she'll do it for it. She's mad. She's crazy.
She'll literally do it. So, and she could play all the parts anyway, I'm sure.
We love Faye. She was amazing on the podcast. We hope one of your next things, as we spoke earlier on, is this Hearsay reunion, even if it's just for one night. One night only. Just give us one night, guys. We need it. The Huns need it.
One night at Wembley.
One night at Wembley Stadium. Noel, tell everybody where they can find you on socials.
I'm at The Noel Sullivan on Instagram, and you can find me on Instagram also at The Little French Renovation.
Oh, yes, because you will see all of the behind-the-scenes gossip and pics from the house reservation that we have spoken about on the podcast. So thanks so much for joining us. I'll let you get back to your cheese, wine and house renovations. Let me know if you want any inspirations for those decals in your kitchen.
I will, babe.
Wherever you go, I'm going to be here, Noel. I am. It's pure and simple. Fabulous. Noel Sullivan, thank you so much for joining us on the season finale of The Fundamental Guide to Life, sponsored by Back to Festivals. And we'll be back for season 3 very, very soon. Until next time. Bye-bye. Well, that's it. Another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life is over. But before you go, have you checked out the brand new Hunsnet website? www.hunsnet.com, our brand new home on the Tinterweb. Need to get tickets to Hun Brunch? We got you, darling, as all the tickets can be found there. Not yet pre-ordered the brand new Hunsnet book? Hitting bookshelves this August, might I say. Don't worry, babes, all is forgiven because you can pre-order it on the site. And finally, if you want to treat yourself or one of your honeys to a dead gorgy present, you can browse our full range of merch too. Log on now for all things Hunsnet on the web, www.hunsnet.com. Insanity Group.